Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are still drawing applications and instructions from Peter's treatment of trials in 1 Peter chapter 4, which treatment was only the repeated treatment regarding trials that we found in 1 Peter, having already dealt with that subject on previous occasions in the same book, and likewise a very frequent topic to be found in other books of the New Testament. In other words, this is a very big subject. And I really shouldn't need to convince you of that. I think all of God's people recognize that trials and what they mean and why they come and how they are handled is one of the biggest issues that we face as the children of God. And I think most of us would admit that we have some growing to do in this area. Probably none of us handle all of our trials as well as we should and as well as we want to. And therefore, instructions concerning trials and how they are to be faced and conquered is very, very practical. And so Peter thinks so. That's why, guided by the Holy Spirit, he comes back to the subject again and again. And since the Bible deals with this so frequently, I think it's important that we do the same. And so that's what we're going to be doing on this Monday, May 19, as once again we gather around the Word of God. And once again, thank the radio listeners who help us financially to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Here's our text, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, the point that I was making on the broadcast last Friday is that there are probably a lot more sufferings in our life that fall into the category of suffering for Christ than first meets the eye, than is obvious upon first examination. Peter's talking here about partaking of Christ's sufferings. And we may consider that to be a reference to those sufferings that have to do with our Christian identity only, those sufferings that come to us because we are Christians. And we may limit that to those that are obviously coming at us because we are Christians. But as I tried to point out on Friday, the truth of the matter is there are probably a lot more trials that come to us because we are Christians that we don't know fit into that category. We don't have that information. And I referenced Job, who had this series of trials that all pertain to his identity as a child of God, but he never knew that because it all had to do with this conflict that was going on in heaven between God and Satan, and God never revealed to Job that that's what was going on. But he expected Job to trust him and to honor him and to submit to him and to his trials in a God-honoring way, even though he never knew why they came. Which tells us that many times we will not know why our trials came, and we don't need to know in order to deal with them in a God-honoring way. So that's an important lesson that I keep driving home, but I think we must drive it home, because some people seem to get stuck there. They just can't seem to get over this hump. I can't deal with this trial until I know why I'm suffering the trial. Wrong. That's wrong thinking. Correct that. Because you'll never deal with the trial properly as long as you are analyzing it improperly. You'll only deal with the trial properly when you view it through the lens of Scripture and realize that God's children can and must deal with our trials in a God-honoring way when we don't know why they came, and the fact of the matter is we seldom know why they came, or at least we don't know everything about why they came, even if we can discern some reasons why they came. Sometimes it's pretty obvious. You know, somebody persecutes you because you're a Christian and says so. I don't like you because you're a Christian. I don't like Christians. I hate Christians. And I hate you because you're a Christian. But that doesn't happen very often. It can happen, and does happen. But it doesn't happen very often. But sometimes people will indicate their hatred and animosity toward you and won't tell you why. And you're left to speculate and to guess, and sometimes you're just left scratching your head and saying, why does that person act so hostile toward me? Why? What have I done? What have I ever done to them? And the fact may be that you have not done anything to them that is wrong any more than Christ ever did anything wrong to anybody. That can't be said about you and me. But that can and must and is said about Christ. He never did any wrong to any person, and yet continually suffered hatred, animosity, persecution, unjust treatment, improper accusations and language for no other reason than because he was, in fact, the sinless Son of God, though many of his accusers didn't acknowledge that that's who he was, but just the fact that he was present and represented truth, represented righteousness, represented God to them, and they hate truth. They hate righteousness. In fact, they hate God, though again, in many cases, people don't admit that that's really what's going on. They don't even understand that, but that is manifested when they hate truth and righteousness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So if someone comes along who is projecting the light of truth and righteousness and of God and of the Bible and of the need for repentance and salvation, and they're not willing to receive that, so what do? They react negatively against the messenger. That's why Christ was persecuted. That's why you and I are persecuted many times, but we don't even know it. And when I say persecuted, I mean just the kind of hateful language, the little digs and indignities that occur many times in the course of life, oftentimes in the workplace or at school, or in the neighborhood, or in the family. And we don't know why those came. We don't understand it. And many times, again, we're scratching our heads. What have I ever said to that person? What have I ever done to that person? Have I done something wrong? Sometimes we even go to them and ask them, have I done something wrong to you? I have done that on some occasions. And I have thought about doing it on other occasions. And we've all had that, I'm sure. I mean, My situation, I'm sure, is not unique, but I can think of a couple of instances where people have had a real negative attitude toward me, and I couldn't figure it out. And I remember one particular individual. I determined the next time I have an opportunity, I'm going to ask that person, have I wronged you in some way? And that was the very next time that I encountered that person for the first time in years, there was a change of attitude. I can't explain it except by God. And from then on, we've had a cordial attitude. But for several years, there was this hostile attitude. And I can't explain it. And I decided not to ask at that point. I'm not going to try to dredge something up here. I'm just grateful for the change. And I can't explain it. I don't need to explain it. I just need to respond to it in a God-honoring way. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know the reason why. Now, that does not mean that we are never at fault. And Peter actually dealt with that earlier in chapter 2. When he said in verse 19, "But this is commendable, if because of conscience sake toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Do you get that? If you suffer wrongfully, you're suffering, but it's not because of something you did, and you endure that in a God-honoring way, that's commendable. God commends, God rewards that kind of behavior. Don't lose your reward by insisting upon information that isn't given to you. Just respond to it in a God-honoring way. But, verse 20, he goes on to say, "What credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults," he's talking here about servants, "if you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God." So there are times when we bring hostility upon ourselves because of our own wrongdoing. He's making that distinction in 1 Peter 2:20. Sometimes you servants, you slaves, in the culture of that day, are beaten because you deserve it. Well, that doesn't bring you any reward or any credit. But sometimes you're beaten for no reason except the master hates Christians. He hates Christ. He hates the Bible. And you are a Christian. Now, you can't change that. You wouldn't if you could. You wouldn't want to. Surely. Surely not. But that's the situation. You are a Christian servant, and your master is an anti-Christian master. And until and unless God changes his heart and gives him a different attitude toward Christians and toward Christ, then this is going to be your lot. You are going to suffer unjustly for things that you have not done wrong. Take it patiently. Respond to it in a Christ-like way, and you'll be rewarded for it, greatly rewarded for it, by your Master in heaven, Jesus Christ. And just accept that that's the way it is. Now, sometimes we're not very good evaluators of whether we are at fault or not. And we should always examine our heart and ask God to show us, "Lord, there's this situation. If I have done something to cause it, please show me." Be open to that and be willing to deal with it if God does show you. Be honest about it. But don't worry yourself sick about it. Don't be unwilling to let it go. If after seeking to know and God doesn't show you anything that you've done wrong, then put it in the other category. This has nothing to do with anything that I have done. It only has something to do with my relationship to Christ. And I don't know exactly how all this fits together, but I'm going to take it patiently for Christ's sake. Then you will honor the Lord. Then you'll be rewarded in heaven. And then you'll be able to go on and to serve the Lord without this distraction. So may God teach us these lessons, and please join me tomorrow as we continue. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.